Father, we want to thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be in your presence this morning. Lord Jesus, we could have been held back by anything, but it is your desire that we are here, and that is because you want to bless us. My Father, my God, I ask, O Lord, as many as will hear your word today, I pray that your word will do them good in Jesus' name. Lord, every blessing that you mean and intend to give to everyone here will not pass them by in Jesus' name. Father, it is not just enough to be blessed in one instance, but there has to be a continuous flow of your blessings into our lives. Therefore, I pray for open heaven and a thorough fear to your throne from today in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, because every need will be met. And Lord, every soul's longing will be satisfied in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' wonderful mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord. I am quite conscious of the time, and I will try as much as possible to make a brisk business. We need to cut back on the time we spend. Please, can we open our Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 3? Matthew chapter 3. I'm going to read from verse 13 to 17. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 to 17. Are we there? Praise the Lord. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. By the special grace of God, we are going to be talking about open heaven today. And I want to believe that even as you are hearing me today, that the Lord will open the heavens unto you in the mighty name of Jesus. If we are going to be successful in our Christian walk with the Lord, we need to be in partnership with heaven. Because we do know that the physical is superseded by the spiritual. And oftentimes, the physical is often preceded by the spiritual. In fact, the Bible makes me to understand that everything we see now had existed in the spiritual realm before they are being manifested in the physical. And for us, as children of God, if we want to realign ourselves back with the original plan and purpose of God for us, when he created man in his own image, he asked that man should have dominion over everything around. When God was talking about dominion over everything that he had created, he was also talking about dominion over spiritual forces around him. But we all know the story, how man lost that place of pride, that place of authority, that place of superiority, that place of power. And of course, God, who have from the foundation of the world devised a plan to restore man, has plan and purpose, by which we could be back into our Garden of Eden, even though we are still on earth, so that we can begin to live that life of dominion, that life of authority once again. And I want to tell you, if there's going to be any group of people who have that authority on earth, we, the children of God, are the ones who are supposed to have that authority. But I want to observe that we live below, well below what God intended for us to be. And we still do. If we are going to be where God wants us to be and be able to do what God wants us to do and be who God wants us to be, we need to begin to exert some influence in the spiritual realm. It wasn't surprising when when our sister said earlier on during the Bible study that we seem to be quite restricted in our thinking. And we limit it to the physical. But if we are going to, look, let me tell you something. The relationship between the physical and the spiritual is so dynamic. Such that what happens in one area affects what goes on in the other place. That is why some of the physical things we do have impact or implication for our spiritual life. And the way how healthy our spiritual life is also has implication for our physical lives too. So we know that it's so dynamic that it's so difficult to separate one from the other. How much we try to separate it. And that is why when God looks at you and I, he looks at you and I as one entity through and through. He does not make that separation between our spiritual and our physical lives because he knows that it's a continuum. And that is why God in his decisions can be able to be clear-cut and dichotomized and be so absolute. And that's why there's no area of gray with God. For him, it's a continuous life. That is why you either trust him or you don't trust him. You either obey him or you don't obey him. You either righteous or unrighteous. You either acceptable or unacceptable. You either honest or dishonest, wicked or good. Darkness, light. God can make this distinction quite clearly because he knows that for him, our life is a continuous process for him. And so, how we stand in one area has implication for how we stand in the other area. But more importantly, how we stand spiritually has a big implication for every other aspect of our lives. And the extent of our spiritual influence will affect our level of dominion. And loss of spiritual dominance of man was what has led to most of the things that we now experience in the world around us. And I want to tell you that God intends to restore somebody today in Jesus' name. Where we have just read in this place shows us what happened to Jesus. Jesus came. He had grown in preparation for what God has called him to come and do. He's the Son of God. And one day, he came to John the Baptist and said, "Look, I want to be baptized of you." John said no. Because John had already foretold that there's a man coming. The lacets of his shoes he was unworthy to tie or loose. And here comes the same man to him to be baptized. And Jesus said something to John. He said, "Suffer it to be so for now. For thus it becometh us." Jesus didn't say him alone. He said, "Thus it becometh us." He was referring to himself and John. Because both of them were men on a mission. Both of them had missions. Both of them had a purpose. And what Jesus was telling John is this: for us to fulfill our purpose, for us to fulfill what God has called us to do, we need to do this. For you, what do you need to do for you to fulfill the purpose for which God has called you? The Son of God himself, he had to humble himself if that is what it takes for me to fulfill the counsel of God upon my life. Then I can make the sacrifice. That's what Jesus was telling him. He said, if that is what is going to cost for me to pass through this and go through all the stages and be who God wants me to be or fulfill the counsel of God for the world, I am ready to go through. What are you ready to go through for the Lord? What are you ready to give up? What are you ready to add on? What are you ready to put up with? What are you ready to put aside? What are you ready to sacrifice in order to be who God wants you to be? John also had a purpose. The purpose of John was to herald the coming of Jesus. And it was his purpose to initiate him. If he had not obliged Jesus, he would not have fulfilled his purpose completely. And so when Jesus came before him, he was also willing to do what Jesus wanted him to do. And you know what? As soon as Jesus released himself, as soon as he released himself to be baptized of him, and once the baptism has taken place because he was walking in line with God's plan and purpose for his life, something happened. The Bible recorded that the heavens opened. In other words, you and I can have the heaven open unto us too. If we will do certain things, we are going to talk about some of the things we need to do to have heaven open unto us. But before we get there, I want to quickly take you through a journey of the life of a man whom heaven opened unto, so that you know what you are like, what your life will be like when heaven opens unto you. When heaven opens unto you, you have authority in heaven with God. When heaven opens unto you, you have authority with man on earth. You become the delight of heaven and you become the envy of the world. That is when heaven's opened unto you. And I want to believe that none of us will sell ourselves short of God's plan and purpose for our lives by reason of what we are going to hear today in Jesus' name. Can you just open your Bible to Job chapter 29? I'm just going to read through without necessarily explaining much because our time is really very short. I will try to read from the Amplified Version because I believe that it's self-explanatory. And then I can go on with the sermon without taking too much of our time. I really want us to start to close as close to 12:30 as possible. I'm going to read Job 29. And Job again took up his discussion and said, "Oh, that I were as in the months of old, as in the days when God watched over me." You see, when heaven is open unto you, God will watch over you. I say God will watch over you. "When his lamp shone above and upon my head, and his light I walked through darkness." Can you see when heaven is open unto you? Upon you? Or when heaven is open unto you, what can happen in your life? "As I was in the prime ripeness of my days, when the friendship and counsel of God were over my tent." God will be your friend in Jesus' name. The friendship of God and the counsel of God became his companion. And that exemplified the life of Jesus Christ during his walk and his ministry on earth. And that will be your portion in Jesus' name. He said, when the Almighty was yet with me and my children were about me, when my steps through rich pasturage were washed with butter and rock poured out for me streams of oil, when I went out to the gate of the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, the broad place for the council at the city's gate, the young men saw me and hid themselves. The aged rose up and stood. The princes refrained from talking and laid their hands on their mouth. The voices of the nobles were hushed, and their tongues cleaved to the roof of their mouths. For when the ear heard, it called me happy and blessed me. And when the eye saw, it testified for me approvingly. Because I delivered the poor who cried, the fatherless and him who had none to help him. The blessings of him who was about to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me, or clothed itself with me. My justice was like a robe and a turban of diadem or a crown. I was eyes to the blind, and feet was eye to the lame. I was a father to the poor and needy. The cause of him I did not know, I searched out. And I broke the jaws or the big teeth of the unrighteous and plucked the prey out of his teeth. Then I said, I shall die in or beside my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. My root is spread out and open to the waters, and the dew lies all night upon my branch. My glory and honor are fresh in me, being constantly renewed, and my bows gains ever new strength in my hand. Men listened to me and waited and kept silence for my counsel. After I spoke, they did not speak again, and my speech dropped upon them like a refreshing shower. And they waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouths wide as for the spring rain. I smiled on them when they had no confidence, and their depression did not cast down the light of my countenance. I chose their way for them, and sat as their chief, and dwelt like a king among his soldiers, like one who comforts mourners. When heaven opens unto you, you have a place in society. When heaven opens unto you, you become a channel of blessing. God will root his blessings through you to people. That is what happened in the life of Job. He became eyes to the blind. People who are helpless knew that if they came to Job, that their lives would turn around. And God can change the story of your life, that when people know that when they come in contact with you, things will never be the same again for them. And that is what God will do in your life today, in the mighty name of Jesus. When heaven opens, is a mark of approval for the one who has commissioned you. And when the mark of approval of the one who has commissioned you is upon you, look, let me tell you, nothing can stop you to get to where he wants you to be. However, there are things that need to be in place so that our heaven is not open temporarily, so that heaven is perpetually open unto us. We know that everywhere Jesus walked, the Holy Spirit was with him. Because in Acts chapter 10 verse 38, the Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all those that were oppressed of the devil, for God was what? Was with him. And that same God says he is with you today in the mighty name of Jesus. There are things that will help us to open heaven and keep our heavens open, so that we'll be people
who will matter in the spiritual realm and be able to work things in the physical. Everyone to whom heaven will be open, of course, will need to be born again. Because Jesus says, I'm the way and the light. I'm the truth and the life. No one cometh unto the Father except by me. In other words, before now, heaven used to open to people through other means. After the advent of Jesus, he said, heaven cannot open except through me. He says, heaven is closed to anyone who will not come through me. And we read it this morning from Proverbs that says that God does not entertain the prayer of the wicked. I didn't write the Bible. In other words, heaven will not open to the wicked, the ungodly, the unrighteous. But the Bible says the prayer of the righteous is God's delight. God takes pleasure in hearing his voice, in hearing his call, in hearing his petition, in hearing his counsel, in hearing him calling something into existence or calling something into being. God will take pleasure in you in the mighty name of Jesus. Of course, we have no option. Righteousness. Righteousness. Without righteousness, it is impossible for heaven to open upon us. We may shout and howl, we may clap and dance, we may do all that we want to do. And I'm telling you, without righteousness, heaven will not be open to us. I showed us a place the other time. Can we just quickly open to Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 9? How many of us were in the house fellowship last week? How many of us went to the house fellowship? The different house fellowships. Praise the Lord. Did we read that place? Deuteronomy 23, 9. Does it ring a bell to us? Okay. Let's quickly go there for the benefit of those who are not there. It says something to us there. He said, when the host, maybe, he said, when you go forth against your enemies are in camp, you shall keep yourself from every evil thing. What is God saying there? He said, your victory depends on your righteousness. That if you are not standing aright, don't even bother to go to war. We were told this morning that, you know, we know it's a spiritual warfare. He's saying, please, don't even bother to contend with the enemy if you are not standing right. Because what? Heaven will not back you up. But if you are standing right, he said, when your host is going to go forth, that is when the army is arranged against the army of the enemy and you are going to battle, he said, look, you better make sure, you better search within. Search within, making sure that everyone is standing aright. That is why, as a people, as a church, we cannot afford to live in unrighteousness. If we do, there will be a breach. And once there's a breach, look, where we come together and we pray and we shout and nothing will happen. We will have exercised ourselves and enjoy ourselves very, very well and we will just go home. And nothing will change. He said, when you go to war, when your cause encamp, make sure that there is no sin amongst you. Make sure that you are living in righteousness. Can we quickly open to Joshua chapter 7? Joshua 7. Verse 12 and 13. I'm trying to be quick because I promise us that we don't want to spend too much time. Joshua chapter 7, 12 and 13. If you get there, please quickly read for me. Praise the Lord. He said the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. They turned their back in flight. When the Bible says you turn your back, it means you are running. You are no longer in worrying. Why? He said because there was something accursed in the midst of them. You know this story very well. When God asked them to go to Jericho, asked them to, you know, to go around Jericho 7 times, and they did, and they shouted, and the wall came crumbling down, and God told them not to take anything, and you remember the man Achan, who went and took something and hid it, and then they went to fight war with a small village called Ai. And they went there, and the people there defeated them seriously. And Joshua was confused and started asking God, why did this happen? And this was God's response to them. He said, because the people had something in their midst. Something accursed in their midst. He said, therefore, they will turn their back on the enemy. So if we are going to be victorious in life and heaven is going to back us up, it's saying that we have to live a life of righteousness. Both at the level of the congregation and even at the level of the individual. I want us to open to the same Job that we read, chapter 22. Job 22. I will read for us. I'll just read through without trying to explain for because of time. I will read from verse 21 to 30. It says, acquaint now yourself with him. That is, agree with God and show yourself to be conformed to his will. And be at peace. By that you shall prosper. And great good shall come to you. Receive, I pray you, the law and instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. If you return to the Almighty and submit and humble yourself before him, you will be built up. If you put away unrighteousness far from your tents, if you lay gold in the dust and the gold of Ophir among the stones of the brook, considering them of little worth, and make the Almighty your gold and the Lord your precious silver treasure, then you will have delight in the Almighty and you will lift up your face to God. You will make your prayer to him, and he will hear you, and you will pay your vows. You shall also decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you, and the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways. Heaven will open unto you. You will decree a thing. You will be powerful in the spiritual realm, and you will be powerful in the physical realm. That's what God is saying to us. That we will take dominion over the things, the affairs of life once again, if we will remain righteous before him. Look at the conditionality that he put before it. And of course, he said, when they make you low, you will say, there is a lifting up, and the humble person, he lifts up and saves. He will even deliver the one for whom you intercede, who is not innocent. Yes, he will be delivered through the cleanness of your hands. Can you hear that? Can you hear that? That somebody's salvation depends on you. That somebody's saving grace depends on you. He said he will do what? He will deliver the one who is not innocent, because you when you pray, heaven will open and hear you. The one who is guilty, that if you intercede for them because of your standing with God, something will change in their lives. You will pray that they will encounter somebody who will bring them to salvation. You will stand and say, this one will not die without knowing Jesus. And God will supernaturally arrange it that somebody will minister to them. Am I the only one who is reading this? Verse 30, do I take it again? He will even deliver the one for whom you intercede, who is not innocent. Yes. You see, as if you are going to argue in your mind, the Bible is answering you. You say, yes, he will do it. Maybe you thought you haven't heard me properly. He will be delivered through the cleanness of your hands. We need an open heaven. I need an open heaven. And heaven will open to me in Jesus' name. There's so much work to be done. And it has to be done through you. It has to be done through you. Some of us were not at the Sunday school this morning. We look at three words in Greek that are interpreted as prayers. It will be our assignment to go and look for to go and look at those words, because you are not here. But one of the words actually says a type of prayer where you put yourself as an instrument in the hand of God. That's what God is saying. That you become an instrument in his hand to wrought wonders in the lives of people. I'm telling you, we don't seem to appreciate who we are in Jesus. We are so powerful in him. We are so powerful in him, honestly. But do you know something about the kind of power we have in Jesus? Do you know something about it? We are the one who set the dial. We set the dial. The women, you know what I mean. When you want to put something in the oven, you choose the temperature. We set the dial. We set the dial. How do I know that? Go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians 3, 20. You set the dial. What does God say there? He says, now to him who, by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayer, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. What's the Bible saying here? I'm sure we are conversant with the King James Version. I will read King James. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. But I read Amplified so that you take note of something there. What it says is this. It now unto him who, by, in consequence of the action of his power that is at work. In other words, the more you allow God expression in your life, the more the power of God that will dwell in you. The more you allow him to take root and take dominion and take authority over everything in your life, the more God will be able to express himself through you. So you can see that you are the one who regulates the dial. You are in charge. Your cooperation, your willingness is necessary to let go, to let God just take control. To the extent that we release ourselves will determine to the extent to which God is able to use us for his purpose. When we live righteous, heaven will be open unto us. Living in the Spirit. If heaven is going to be open to us, we need to do what? To live in the Spirit. I don't know. You know, some of the things that came up this morning when we had it, I never intended them. I just believe that God is saying something to us as a church and as a people, as the people he has called. When you live in the Spirit, heaven will be open to you. Because you will see spiritual vision, you will see spiritual things. Heaven will be open to you. Look, let me tell you something. When you live in the flesh, even if heaven is open to you, you will not even see. You will not even hear. Somebody calls it droning God out. We drone him out. We get so busy with the physical that we drone him out. He is shouting. Heaven is talking. Heaven is speaking. And we won't hear. Because we are so entangled with the affairs of this world that our reasoning cannot go beyond what we are able to see. Look at Acts chapter 7, verse 55 and 56. Look at the life of somebody there. In the midst of trouble, that's why I wanted us to look at that particular place. In the midst of tribulation, in the midst of the affairs of this world, in the midst of death, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of tribulation, somebody is still able to see spiritually. He said, but he, full of the Holy Spirit and controlled by him, are we taking note of that? Gazed into heaven and saw the glory, the splendor and majesty of God, and Jesus standing at God's right hand. And he said, look, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at God's right hand. Do you know who we're talking about here? That's Stephen. He was about to be stoned to death. In fact, that should have been the last thing on his mind. Yet, he was so much in the spirit. And the Bible said he was in the spirit. And he saw heaven open. And I'm telling us, you know, we haven't even seen anything yet. And yet, we are not able to fix our gaze on Jesus. Sometimes it's just because we are running late on our electricity bills. Or we are running late on our mortgage. Or we are running late with servicing our car. Or we are running late in taking the kids to somewhere and back again. And that is enough for us not to even see in the spirit. Yet somebody was facing death. And the Bible said he was in the spirit. Yet he was still in the spirit. 55. But he, full of the Holy Spirit and controlled by him, he looked up. Only those who are controlled by the Spirit will heaven open to. Heaven will open to you today in the mighty name of Jesus, because the Spirit of God will control you. And of course, heaven will not open to the disobedient. Yeah. Because remember I told you, I said order comes from the higher to the lower. The lower does what? Makes petition. And order comes. When order comes from above, if you are not obedient, heaven cannot be open to you. When he's giving you the chance a few times and you are not obedient, heaven closes up. Your heaven will not close. I say your heaven will not close. The rain of God will fall upon your life. Another thing that can make heaven open unto you is this. What happened in the life of John and Jesus? Make sure you are commissioned for your mission. Did you hear that? Make sure you are commissioned for your mission. When God commissions you for a mission, heaven will open unto you. But when you commission yourself for a mission, it won't. That's what we saw in Matthew 3, verse 15. Jesus said, for we need, there's need for us to fulfill. There's a need for us to fulfill. In other words, we are people who are commissioned for this mission. In other words, if we are going to fulfill this mission, we have to do what we have to do. And let me tell you something. When you are commissioned for your mission, and you are doing what you have to do in order to arrive at that destination, look, heaven will back you up. It may look like it's difficult. It may look like it's impossible. It may look like you don't have the resources. But I'm telling you, heaven will back you up. Because heaven opens a channel of approval to you. And heaven is singing your praise. And heaven is shouting. And heaven is clapping. And heaven is saying, well done. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter who is saying you haven't done well. You will make it. You know, let me tell you something I've shared with us before. Do you know the Bible says that John the Baptist, he never did one single miracle in his ministry. He never did one single miracle. And you know what Jesus said of him? Jesus said, he said, of all people born of women, he said, John the Baptist is the greatest. Why? Because he was commissioned for his mission. And he followed after it. You will succeed in Jesus' name. What is important is that we should major in the major and not major in the minors. Let's begin to see things in the spiritual, from spiritual perspective, and see what God will do. Oh yes, Psalm 119 verse 18 says, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. In other words, let me begin to see beauty, your power, your abilities, the things you promised, the things you are able to do. As I open my eyes to look at your word, let them begin to be revealed to me. Walking in the flesh will not allow that to happen. And of course, if heaven will not be closed against us, forgiveness is very important. And I'm telling you, one of the areas that we might miss it very strongly is this. People we are very close with. Wives to husband, husband to wife, and things like that. Even brother to brother, sister to sister. You know, the people we take for granted. It's very important. Otherwise, heaven may close. And we don't know why. Your heaven will open in Jesus' name. It does not mean that we won't correct each other. It does not mean that. But what he's saying is that we have to let it go. When you look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20 to 21, Alexander the coppersmith, you know what Paul did, you know, to him, basically. Not because he didn't forgive him, but because he needed to be corrected. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14 too. But it's saying that we need to. And you see, even in the Lord's Prayer, he said before we can come to him, it's very important. And then another very important aspect, just before I close, is this. You have to, I was discussing with the brother yesterday about covering. About covering. As a child of God, you have to be very careful about your covering. If heaven is going to be open to you, I will show you a few things. First of all, you need to be very careful who provides cover for you. If you look at Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 11, I shared it with us the other time. He said, the prophet said, peace, 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 when there is no peace. It is not what people say. It is what God says. There may not be peace if the one who provides covering for you himself is not living righteous. And I will show you one or two places in the Bible. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, during the reign of Eli as the prophet in Israel, and his children were very wayward. Do you know what happened to him? Do you know what the Bible said? In those days, there was no open vision. In other words, there can be some people that will preside over your life and heaven will be closed. Heaven will open to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Heaven can be closed depending on who provides a cover for you. But that's not where we're going. Just open with me to 2 John. I'm not saying St. John. Look at 2 John. And I will show you something there. 2 John. I'm going to read verse 9 to 11. I have amplified here, so let me just read from there. 2 John. Maybe you've never seen this before. Nine to 11, that's where I want to read. Okay. It says, listen to this. Anyone who runs on ahead of God and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, who is not content with what he taught, that is what Jesus taught, does not have God. But he who continues to live in the doctrine, teaching of Christ, does have God. He has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, that is disloyal to what Jesus taught, do not receive him. Listen to this. Do not accept him. Do not welcome or admit him into your house or bid him Godspeed. Or give him any encouragement. For he who wishes him success who encourages him, wishing him Godspeed, is a partaker in his evil doings.
Maybe you don't understand.
What the Bible is telling us here is this. The Bible says, by their fruit you shall know them. You think because somebody has a name, you think because somebody has the means, you think because somebody is popular, you think because somebody, you know, is well placed. But you see that he does not live according to the teaching of Jesus Christ. And you sow into his ministry. And you give him encouragement, even in words. You know that this is not biblical. You know that this is not the teaching of Jesus. The Bible is telling you, he said, if you sow into that ministry, if you sow either your money, your time, in fact, if you encourage that person, you know what they are doing is not good. What does the Bible say? You would think you are going to be blessed. The Bible says, you know what the Bible says? It says, he who honors a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. If you honor a prophet. But those are not the kind of prophet that you honor. If you encourage them with anything, the Bible is saying, let me read again. For he who wishes him success, who encourages him, wishing him good speed, is a partaker in his evil doings. Anyone who brings a gospel that is different from that which Jesus teaches, and you say, look, let's look at the Bible. This is what Jesus says. And you say, look, it doesn't matter. You see, we have to. If you encourage that person, you are in trouble.
God will deliver us.
You cannot allow your heaven to be closed against you. Because heaven may be closed by reason of where you sow your seed. There's nothing like, I made a mistake, Lord. You have to know that. There will be no mistake because I don't know. No, you see the fruit coming out, yet you sow into that place, you'll be in trouble. You'll not be in trouble with the Lord in Jesus' name. Your heaven will remain open. And of course, we have to daily watch our standing. Many of us may not know. When the church had some big crisis here, we used to have a house fellowship in one of the suburbs there. We were going there. We would just go after church every Sunday. That was when, I think, was it Sunday? No, yeah. We'll go after church on Sunday to meet with our family. And they were not living right. One day, we got out of that house. We were standing in front. And it was like a big umbrella, big black umbrella just came over my head. I was so scared. I was really afraid. I'm talking about real life. I wasn't sleeping. I just saw that big umbrella came over me. And I was so afraid. And I started praying. Of course, immediately it dropped in my heart that what I was being told was that that umbrella will cover me and my prayer will not rise up again. We started praying. But it was not the prayer. We had to get the couples to do what was right, so that our heavens will open. Be careful who you associate with. Otherwise, the heaven could be closed. Remember the case of Achan. Heaven was closed. One other thing that is very important is your attitude to your covering. I've already told us in Matthew 10, 40 to 41, say, he who honors the prophet will receive a prophet's reward. If you do honor a man of God, say, if you honor a righteous man, you will receive the reward. If you do that because you are doing it for Christ, it can open your heaven. We saw it in Job. If somebody who is living righteous intercedes for you, it can turn around things in your life. Look at 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 20 to 27. I'm not going to read it, but just look at it. I will tell you this. We know the story. This is the story of Gehazi. That was the story of Gehazi. You remember Elisha? Elisha. If you trace the story of Elisha very well, Elisha was actually well pleased. When Elisha came to Elijah, calling him Lord, Elijah the Tishbite was a nobody compared to Elisha. And what happened? There was a Passover of anointing, but not just the anointing of Elijah, but there was a double portion of his anointing upon Elisha. And what happened in the life of Elisha and Gehazi? Because Gehazi will not, note this, because Gehazi will not recognize the authority of the covering of God upon his life. If Elisha had a double portion of Elijah's anointing, Gehazi should have been entitled to a double portion of Elisha's anointing. Right? And it would have quadrupled that of Elijah. But he thought that the guy was foolish when he didn't take anything from the Syrian. He went behind him and he took it. There was no transfer. How do we know there was no transfer? After Elisha died, some people carried their corpse. They wanted to go and bury the corpse. And when they got to where Elisha was buried, and they put the corpse down, what happened to the corpse? He rose. There was no transfer of anointing. Your heaven will open in Jesus' name. Sowing. We need to sow if heaven will open to us. Because it is only the cloud that is loaded that causes rainfall. An empty cloud will not produce rain for you. So in prayers. For the prayer of the righteous man, wrought in him by divine energy, bring about miracles. I'm reframing James 5:16. For the prayer of the righteous man, wrought in him by divine energy, bring about miracles. It will produce results in your life in Jesus' name. So in substance, look at Ecclesiastes 11 verse 3 to 6. A loaded cloud will cause rainfall. And lastly, what I want to share with us is that when you sow in diligence to the things of God. Because the reward of God is in diligence. It's not sloppy, floppy sowing. When you sow your time, sow in diligence. When you sow your energy, sow in diligence. When you sow your substance, sow in diligence. In diligence, sow unto the Lord. Because the Bible says he rewards those who diligently seek him. Let's sow in diligence. The things of God, let's take it as very important. Let's sow in diligence so that heavens will open to us. And God will open heaven to you today in the mighty name of Jesus. Can we just rise up? If God has blessed you, just shout amen to the Lord. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Just begin to worship him. Just begin to give him all the glory. Give him all the praise. Let's give him all the praise. Let's just give him all the glory. Thank him. Because heaven will open unto you from today. You become a channel of blessing to other people. Heaven will open unto you. Everything. Begin to pray to the Lord. Say, Lord Jesus, everything that has closed my heaven, I remove you in the mighty name of Jesus. Every obstacle to your heaven opening, begin to remove it in Jesus' name. For the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Begin to speak to the Lord. Let heaven be open unto you. Let heaven begin to open unto you. This month of November, let heaven begin to open unto you. Wherever your good is, wherever your blessing is, let heaven begin to open unto you. Let heaven begin to open unto you. Let heaven begin to open unto you. Let heaven begin to open unto you in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh yes, let heaven begin to open upon your church. Let heaven begin to open upon every life here. Let heaven begin to open, oh Lord. An opening of approval. An opening of commission. Let it begin to open in the mighty name of Jesus. Let heaven begin to open unto your children, O Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, every area where heaven has been closed against them, I ask, O Lord, that it be opened today in Jesus' name. Ask that your heaven be open. Ask that your heaven be open. The rain of God will fall upon your life from today. The dew of heaven will settle upon you. The glory of the living God becomes your portion from today in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Ask that your heaven be open. Ask that your heaven be open. You have authority in the spiritual realm and in the physical. Let heaven be opened upon your life from today in the mighty name of Jesus. Heaven begin to open upon me, O Lord, upon your church, O Lord. Let heaven begin to open. Heaven begin to open. Oh, yes, by divine commission, by divine purpose, let heaven begin to open. Let heaven begin to open. Lord Jesus, let heaven begin to open. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' wonderful mighty name, we pray. Father, I thank you. Because like you have sent me, I've delivered your word, O Lord. I know by reason of what some people have heard, their lives will never be the same again. Lord, is there anyone whose heart is rebelling against your word right now? The Bible says, by reason of right standing with you, we can intercede on behalf of the wicked, that the innocent will be turned from his perilous ways. Therefore, I intercede right now in the mighty name of Jesus that if there's anyone who will not benefit from this word by reason of the prayer of this afternoon, that this life will be turned around in Jesus' name. Lord, let your heaven be open upon your people. They are not going to struggle through life because if they are struggling, they will not be able to deliver others. Therefore, they will be deliverers of people in the mighty name of Jesus. Mighty works you will do in these lives. Mighty works you will do through these lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' wonderful mighty name we pray. Can we share the grace?